I want to thank Brian for leading a song that flows seamlessly right into the lesson that we want to discuss again this morning. For those of you who are visiting with us, we've been going through each act of worship, looking very carefully, realizing that God sees everything. He sees what we're doing on the outside, and much more importantly, he sees what we're doing on the inside. It's the things that we're doing on the inside that go up to him. We speak one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs singing. But we make melody to the Lord in our hearts. We partake of the Lord's Supper outwardly by eating the bread and drinking the fruit of the vine. But Jesus was very firm and very clear, "This do in remembrance of me." And so with each lesson, we have come back to our core, come back to the center of all instructions regarding worship. Jesus strips everything away, and he says that there are true worshipers, and those true worshipers who God is seeking to be his worshipers will always worship in spirit and in truth. We discussed the situation with Cain and Abel to illustrate how one must worship God in truth. Because by faith, and faith comes by hearing the word of God or the word of truth, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. We have to offer by faith. Every act of worship that we bring to our God, we need to know why we're doing it, and we need to know that we are doing it in submission to him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Year after year after year, as we learn more and more about the scriptures and more about what God expects with each of these acts of worship, God should be seeing growth. God should be seeing that my worship is more sincere, that it is more committed, it is more by faith, it is more in truth. But the other side, the spiritual side, and we're this evening, or this morning, we're going to talk about hearing, but I like this verse, guard your steps or watch your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. There we see spirit, draw near to hear on the inside. No one can see this. I don't know if you're listening or not. I don't know if you came here this morning to hear. God does. God will accept your worship as sincere, as genuine, if we worship in spirit and truth. For God is in heaven, verse 2, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And what that means is right here. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. People tend to get angry when their core convictions are questioned, when the scriptures strip away all of their thinking and leave them naked and laid open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. When we are hearing a sermon, when we are reading the scriptures, our hearts need to be open. We've all heard the illustration that we need to have a mind that is empty when we come to hear what God says, not a mind that is so full that we can't hear anymore. We need to be swift to hear. We need to be attentive. God is watching. If my mind is all over the place, certainly when I first become a Christian, that may be the case. But over the years, we need to discipline our minds. We need to be disciplined. When we take the Lord's Supper, we need to be disciplined. We need to be remembering the Lord. When we sing, we need to be disciplined. Each word in the song creating the emotions or the decisions or the remembrances or the future plans that the songwriter, leaning on the scriptures, has put in that song. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. What manner of house will you build me, and what place shall be my rest? For all these things hath my hand made, and so all these things came to be. God strips away everything here. Anything we bring to him physically, it's already his. There's only one thing a Christian really has. Remember that song we sang? It is all that I can do to give myself to you. All these things my hands have made, and all these things come to be, saith the Lord, or saith Jehovah. But to this man or woman will I look, to him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. You ever feel that way during the worship assembly? Do we ever feel? It's not the preacher. It's not the words of the preacher. That's not what we're trembling at. We're trembling at the scriptures that are being quoted and the applications, the clear scriptural applications that are being made. So when I find myself in a situation where what is being preached and what I am doing are not the same, I start to tremble. That should be our response. Because, as Jesus pointed out, we will stand before him who, after the body is killed, is still able to destroy soul and body in Gehenna. Do I have a poor spirit? Do I have a contrite spirit? Maybe not today. Maybe today, maybe this week has been a good week. Maybe I have managed to live a godly and good life without any real glaring problems in it. But that doesn't change the fact that when I come here on the first day of the week and God's word is being proclaimed, we have to understand who's watching. It doesn't matter. A preacher can look at your eyes. He can see whether you're looking at him. He can get a sense of whether you're paying attention or not, or whether you're sleeping. But God knows exactly what's going on in my heart. For the entire period of time that the sermon is being preached, God is watching. And what I am showing God, derision, scoffing, bored, oh, here we go again. Those are not the proper attitudes for the Christian. But it's interesting because we were trained by our parents and teachers and coaches and counselors about the need to listen. And good listeners are hard to find. But here's the question. Can we just come into worship and listen exactly the same way we did in college or we did in high school? Listen exactly the same way that we do on the job? Is that the only expectation, or does God have a little bit more that he wants? So, is it the same as listening at home? Is there something different? I would submit to you that there's one thing that is very different about this period of time in our worship, and that is that God is watching our responses, and he has given us exactly what he would like to see. So when he says, laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls, that has to be a component. If I don't know or understand what this phrase is, receive with meekness, with gentleness, with submissiveness, with a desire to put myself under the individual involved, the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Well, he continues on, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In the next slide, we'll talk about the fact that some acts of worship have to be done before you come. You can't reach into your wallet and get out the check if you haven't already given as prospered before you came. Other acts of worship are done simultaneously. When we take the Lord's Supper, that is a simultaneous act of worship. Giving, on the other hand, giving is an act of worship that becomes sincere and genuine and spiritual and in truth when God sees what we do after. If we're just hearers, We're deceiving ourselves. That's why oftentimes I'll start a series and I'll say, you know, 6 years ago we preached on this. Are you any different? Has anything changed? Are you still the same person? Does anything ever change? Do you think the Lord says, well, after you reach 60 years old, I don't expect much from you anymore? Absolutely not. We should be growing and changing, and we should be able to see that growth and that change. Otherwise, we're deceiving ourselves. Be doers of the word. When the word is being preached, God is expecting attentive listening, applications, and decisions to carry it out after the sermon is over. If any one of those is broken, it's not worship in spirit and truth. Verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all that he does. I think that's an excellent template that I need to start working with. Because, brethren, our God wants us to grow in our worship. He wants us to understand what's at stake here. As we mentioned last week, he who eats of the bread in an unworthy manner is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That is a serious threat. Far worse than Nadab and Abihu, who were put to death. Far worse than Saul, who lost his kingdom. We become guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What's the Lord trying to tell us there? He's trying to tell us that we need to get serious about these responsibilities. Year after year after year, God should see growth. Because if he doesn't, then that worship is not going to have the same power. So here's what we talked about just a few moments ago. There are some acts of worship that you only practice while you're in the worship assembly. We sing, we take the Lord's Supper, and we pray. We focus on that moment. And then, until the next week, we don't focus. But giving is different. Where giving is prospered, but that has to be done before we arrive. You can't just reach into your pocket. Oh, I got a dollar in my wallet today. Here, I've given as I've prospered. No, we have to give forethought. We have to think about, how did God prosper me this week? How did God help me this week? As I write the check, I need to be thinking, not 12 months, annual salary, divided by 52, and goes into the check, or it goes into the plate. That's not worship. Or at least, that's worship in truth, but not in spirit. But after worship is where hearing kicks in. No matter how attentive we are while we're here, God's not going to be pleased with worship if it never results in any change. If you're the same person, year after year after year, hearing sermon after sermon after sermon, can we honestly say that was worship in truth? That was worship in spirit. The more changes after the sermon, the more God is glorified. The more our sincerity and our devotion to him, which, yes, is focused here in the worship assembly, I wouldn't deny that it's all done here, but it's amplified if we do the giving before, it's amplified if the hearing continues after. Cornelius said this when he called Peter at the word of the angel. We are all here, present in the sight of God, to hear all things that have been commanded you of the Lord. Are we all here? Present in the sight of God? That never is forgotten. It's not the preacher. Now, we should be listening to the preacher. We should be making sure that the preacher is preaching the truth. And yet, it's the scripture, not the preacher, that should really be the focus. And that's the mirror. The mirror, as I read this verse, that's a mirror. Now, what do I reflect back? The mirror says, we're all here, present in the sight of God, to hear everything that has been commanded. What's my reflection? Is this you? Is this me? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Once again, you see that the worship of hearing does not end with the invitation. The worship of hearing continues through the week as we search the scriptures to see, as we make applications, as the godly sorrow produces clearing, vindication, indignation, proving that we're free in the matter. There are different types of hearers and attitudes toward hearing. The Hebrew writer said, I've got a lot to say about Melchizedek and hard to interpret because you're dull of hearing. You haven't grown. Your acuity, we talk about mental acuity. Well, here's hearing acuity. Acuity means sharpness. This means dullness. What kind of attitude did I bring today? I mean, yes, you've probably heard this sermon 15 times in your lifetime if you're an older individual. But that doesn't mean that we just go on to autopilot. Oh, I've heard this before. That is not going to be pleasing to the Lord. Trembling. Drawing near to hear. Being noble like the Bereans. Hearing with a desire to repent. I want to repent. If there's anything in my life that is not what it should be, I am ready with all readiness of mind. I want to hear it. And that's why whenever Scripture is preached, we're laying ourselves out there. And it can be painful sometimes. But it's necessary. You can't grow without godly sorrow. But there's a hearing that insults God as well. After telling Timothy in verse 2 to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convincing, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and teaching, he moves to the hearers. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, this doesn't happen overnight. The first sign will be how we hear. Take heed how you hear, is what Jesus said. In other words, keep an eye on your listening ability. Keep an eye on the process. Because it's like a barometer. It's an indicator of where we are going. And we need to be ready. We need to be watching. You know, people don't fall away. As I said a moment ago, they don't fall away overnight. And it starts here. It starts here when the preacher is preaching and we're far away. We don't want to hear those truths any longer. The time does come for some, and it seems in our generation that more and more and more people, it just seems to ever go outward. We see the denominations just completely having no respect for Scripture, having no respect for the inspiration of the Scripture. And then it starts coming into the Lord's church. And we see the more liberal elements of the church becoming more and more liberal. Now teaching you don't need to be baptized. Instrumental music is no problem. And when you preach against it, they can't endure it. But what about us? Where are we at on this? God wants to see us listening intently, hoping. You ever feel like that? I hope I learned something today that will help me to be a better Christian. Something today that I shouldn't be doing that I am doing, or something today that I should be doing that I'm not doing. I want to grow. I know it's painful. I know that it is insulting sometimes to realize that I'm not where I need to be, but I'm in the presence of God. God is perfect. I'm not perfect, but I want to be perfect, and I want to show him that I want to be perfect. Verse 8, "Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me." But my people would not heed my voice. Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. God sees. We can put on a front. We can go into coast mode or cruise control. We can just live our lives and not be growing anymore. We've reached a plateau. We like it here. God doesn't like that. Paul said, "Not that I've already attained, but I'm already made perfect. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and stretching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's an upward call. And this act of worship is one of the greatest opportunities that we have. And it isn't because we have an entertaining preacher. It isn't because we have a golden-tongued orator. We'll see that in a moment when Ezekiel is told, "They talk of you, but they don't do anything." Look, yeah, there it is. "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. They speak to one another, and everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.' So they come to you as people do, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words. But they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they don't do them." That's why I say this act of worship is sealed by what happens next. This act of worship in which we hear, and often at the end of the lesson, I'll tell you, if you've heard something today that has struck you, write it down, make some decisions, because by tomorrow or the next day, it's gone. We have so many things in our lives. Entertainment, work, hobbies, responsibilities, obligations. And we can't keep things fixed. Our minds are fixed right now, hopefully on this. We're not thinking about bills. We're not thinking about other things. But as God told Ezekiel in verse 32, hearing the words without doing them is not worshiping in spirit and truth. And that's a critical point for each one of us to make. It's what I do tomorrow that will seal what I heard today or nullify what I heard today. On the judgment day, when we go before the Lord and the Lord says, "Here's something you should have done," and you say to him, "Lord, I didn't know." And the Lord says, "Okay, let's go back to that sermon you heard in 1974 or 1992. And at the end of that sermon, you realize and you said to yourself, 'I need to do something about this.' And now you're telling me you didn't know? You just didn't buy up an opportunity." That's a scary thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And don't think that isn't going to happen, because it is. The Lord has written it all down. There are books that he can open. Every idle word that a man speaks, he will give an account. By your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. Every thought of the heart will be sifted. So we need to take this seriously. You're going to learn things in sermons and in Bible classes, but we're talking about worship in spirit and truth on the first day of the week. It's got nothing to do with the preacher. It has everything to do with God and his word and my relationship with him and my faith and my submissiveness. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept your worry and not turned aside. Now, this is Job. You remember how God said, what God said about Job in the first part of the book? I have no man like him in all the earth. A perfect and upright man who turns away from evil. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. That is absolute truth that God has already confirmed. Look at verse 12. I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Does that sound familiar? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you can read that verse and not get it, I don't know what that means. I don't know how I could treasure God's word more than my necessary food. I don't understand how man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But I hope we can say, I know exactly what that means, because I feel the same way. I treasure God's words. God's words are more important to me than food, than my necessary food. I have treasured the words, have we? Can we say that and make melody in our heart? Is that what we do? Now, I realize this goes far beyond this act of worship, which is giving or hearing one sermon, but it's an attitude that we bring with us every first day of the week. And then, since we treasure it, when we get something new, we don't let it fall to the ground. We treasure it. We hold it. We write it down, or we write it in our hearts. That's what God said in Hebrews. On their hearts, not the stone, I'll write them on their hearts. Well, he can't do that without our help. Matter of fact, he can't do that without our active participation. We have to be allowing him to write in our hearts. And that's what we should be doing. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Are we rejoicing? Are we becoming wise? Is our soul being converted? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. He's talking about the word of God, and he's talking about our reverence, our respect, our submission, our desire to hear it, our love and devotion and gratitude that the Lord is directing our steps. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Do you believe that? Is $1 million in the bank, or a deep knowledge of the scripture? Which would you pick if you could have one or the other? Which would we rather have? What do we think about? What is the most important thing to us? I can make melody. I hope you can make melody. More to be desired than gold. If we had an opportunity to gain more knowledge of the scriptures or to make more money, God can see that. Nathanael was told by Jesus, a man in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael says, how do you know me? He said, before, when you were under that fig tree, I saw you. Whatever Nathanael was doing under that fig tree that showed he had no guile, Nathanael said, you're the King of Israel. You're the Messiah. And Jesus said, you're going to see greater things than these. But what's the point of that statement? God's looking at our heart. Do we have any guile? Is the word of God sweeter than honey? If you find something in the scriptures you'd never seen before, a way to conquer a lust or a way to understand and have more wisdom, are you grateful the whole week? Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving me. Oh, I'm so happy to have that. That was so wonderful. Verse 11, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Now, this is just all bubbling up. That's what should be in here when God's word is being preached. That's what God would like to see. When we talk about worshiping God in spirit and truth during the hearing portion of the sermon, all of these things are critical. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord." He has rejected you from being king. But look at the content here. Burnt offering and sacrifices, even David, you remember after David with Bathsheba? He said, "I would give you sacrifices, but the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." That's what the Lord wants to see. Obeying the voice of the Lord. That's what the Lord wants to see, is obedient people wanting to hear, wanting to change, looking forward to the opportunity of seeing something a little more clearly than they did in the past. God knows our motives. He knows our hearts. He knows our plans and ideas and goals. And during this portion of our service, that either disgusts Him or pleases Him. It either makes us a genuine worshiper or a counterfeit worshiper. To obey is better. And to heed, to listen, to want to know. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. You say, what does that have to do with this lesson? Well, if you have to ask that question, then you've missed the point of the lesson. God's words are being spoken, and He's in His holy temple, and He's watching, because this is our worship. We're saying, "Lord, I'm grateful to You. I thank You. I'm awesome. I consider You to be awesome. I want to submit to You. I want to love You. I want to be devoted to You." And when His word is being spoken, everything else is silent, because I want my God to know how grateful I am that He's given me His word. And I want Him to see how eager I am to make whatever change the sermon that I heard that day, that God was expecting the change to occur. Luke 8, "Therefore, take heed how you hear." I need to be, remember we talked last week about examining yourself. You know what your responsibilities and obligations are during the Lord's Supper. You need to be testing yourself every step of the way. When you're eating the bread, you need to be thinking, am I thinking about the body? Am I remembering Him? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And that's what this is all about. Take heed. Be watching. Be concerned about how you listen. And again, it has nothing to do with the preacher. It has nothing to do with the sermon. It has everything to do with God's word. "For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." And as Paul said about the Lord's Supper, because you're not examining yourself, you're weak, you're sick, or you're sleeping, which is probably dead, spiritually dead. Now, if that's true of the Lord's Supper, how much more, or at least how much equal, how we respond to His word? Now, I don't know if anything in this sermon changed anything. I don't know if anything needed to be changed, but you know in your heart if anything needs to be done as a result of this sermon. And if something needs to be done, it won't be worship unless we do it. It won't be true, sincere, spirit and truth worship if we don't make a mental note, "I'm going to make this change. I don't want to hear this sermon 5 years from now and have to feel the same way I do right now." And so as we prepare to sing the song of encouragement, moment of truth is here. Does anything need to be done? Does anything need to be changed? If it's public, do you need to come forward? If it's time to obey the gospel, do you need to make it known? If it's time to make some personal changes, prepare to make them. And make sure you bring forth the fruits of the repentance that you might be feeling right now by going on to make those changes. Worship is a very effort-oriented activity. Every act of worship requires 100% attention, just like when you're driving a car. You have to pay attention. And so, brethren, as we pick up our song of invitation and we turn over to number 330, if there's anyone in the audience this morning who recognizes that something was said that needs action, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.